Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today on the show in this week of love. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Alex D. Hey, Alex.
Hey there, Françoise.
First hour went by fast. We gave a lot of fun stuff away to the Riverside County Fair and Date Festival. We're going to give some tickets away this hour of the show as well. So everybody was excited that won.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and we had our guest, Veronica Casper, who is actually runs the fair, and she gave us a call and was telling us about all the things going on. And not only is that happening this week, it is also Valentine's Week, and I know I want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day out there, but I want to give you a heads up. This is like a secret, not really a secret, but B. Elson's Jewelers, lower level at the Gardens on El Paseo, are having a huge everything must go sale, end of lease. They close the door on May 13th. Now is the time to go in there. They have a ring in there that's a heart. It's a ruby shaped like a heart with diamonds around it. It's beautiful. And since my birthstone is ruby,
Throwing it out there.
Yeah, you know, you never know. All right, anyway, lots of stuff happening in the world of travel. So much going on. So again, we'll get started. Today on the show, we're going to have Olivia Irvin from Amtrak, who will be joining us to talk about train travel. In fact, our travel question of the week was about train travel. I have so many answers. I hope to read them all of your comments about those who have been, those who even worked on trains. Really interesting. I never know what questions, Alex, are going to get response. You know, some will get just a few. The ones I usually think will get a ton of response get just a few. The ones that I think, you know, then get so many. you just never know. You never know what gets what sparks interest in people out there. So very, very interesting. We'll get to those as well. Also, yesterday on KESQ, I was not there. I'll be back this week. I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'll figure out something. And I have a new travel blog about Catalina Island going up on CoachellaValley.com on the travel blog page. So check that out as well. And remember, we have the Mount Rushmore trip happening in May. If you want all the details, I will be hosting this. Go to the website for everything. I have podcasts, TV shows, the blog. Everything is on this website, the big contest page, where there's always, and like I said, we gave a ton of winners away for Super Bowl last week. So they're all listed on there. So many tickets. Just go to that website, Traveling with Françoise. I do have an E at the end of my name, .com, and check it out. And the nonprofit, Artifacts and Arts Across America. I'm working on that. I went to the school district, one of the schools, Kauai Desert Academy. I was out there, and they're real excited about me talking to the classrooms about radio, television, traveling, what's in the hospitality industry, museums, and whatnot more. So they're really excited. We're going to start working on that.
And that's where I went to middle school. So yeah, I'm sure that they're very excited.
They are excited. It was really a lot of fun. Of course, we're going to do some trial runs to see what can hold the attention span of these kids out there, because it's not as big as it used to be. So we'll be doing a few trials, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, that number to call the show later on, not right now, if you want to win some passes for a family four pack to the Riverside County Fair and Date Festival. Write this number now. I'm not going to be giving them away right now. We'll do a little bit later on the show. That number is 760-440-8255. But here is something that I thought we would start out with, Alex. It's travel and relationships. All right. The couple that travels together is happier, according to a survey, except for the 23% that report breaking up with someone because of their first vacation. They couldn't handle it. According to a survey, 88% said their first vacation with a partner was a success, and 52% reported returning to that same destination again. 75% said a trip had a positive effect on their relationship, and 49% said it was positively affected how romantic they are with their partner. 37% said they fell in love on their first vacation with a partner. Interesting. On the negative side, 24% said they were overwhelmed by the stress of planning, booking, and budgeting for a vacation. And to have a successful vacation, important factors include the right destination, 69%, a budget that works for both, 61%, good planning, 60%. Also important were making sure you're serious with your partner, 51%, and the ability to compromise, 44%. Disagreements surrounded the destination, 32%. Where to stay, 31%. And trip length, 29%. 17% said things going wrong with the trip, like lost luggage or flight delays, were a challenge. Another 15% identified the difficulty of running out of things to talk about while on a trip. So here's the interesting thing. Jack and I, he had a sailboat when we first met, and we decided to sail around on the boat. We spent more hours together sailing around on the boat. I mean, that's a lot of quality time for two people to spend. And you know what? We never had a problem with talk. We never had a problem with any of it. It's just you either gel and can handle it, or you can't. So it really is interesting to put yourself with your partner in that type of situation and see how it really works out. Now, not that I want to get into your personal life, Alex, but you and Leslie, have you guys traveled at all?
A little bit, but nothing too big.
Nothing. What was the longest length of your trip?
Maybe like a weekend, you know, three days.
Okay. Yeah. And how'd it go?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Were you ready to keep going towards the end?
Yeah. It's just that it was a lot of driving. Uh-huh. So it's the driving that can really, you know, take a toll on you. But yes. it was fun. You know, it's something that we've definitely wanted to do some more.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Because, and it really is true. How many times I've traveled a lot of places in the world, and then there's a lot of places I haven't been to. But it's always, I find it interesting. You're traveling, you're a tourist, you're in a new destination, and I see people sitting at the table and they don't have anything to talk about. How can you have nothing to talk about when you're at a new destination? I mean, all around you is something new.
Yeah.
Anyway, so trips, that can be a deal breaker. So if you really want to put your relationship to the test, just go on a vacation with them. And that'll do it. That'll give you a heads up, or you might then and there decide, this isn't going to work. And be honest with yourself. So just wanted to give you that. Yeah. Vacationing is not that easy. It can be very stressful if you let it be.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. My mom is the, you know, vacation planner. Uh-huh. So she starts planning, you know, about a year in advance.
Wow.
And she has plane tickets at least 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
So she's very, you know, meticulous with how she does it, make sure we have plans. She's amazing at it. And budgeting, easy for her.
So how about, though, when you go on the trip? Here's what sometimes gets to people, and I think this is what ruins a trip for a lot of people. They're so worried that they won't know what to do while they're there that they plan one thing constantly after another. They have all these things planned, paid, booked, and whatever, and they find they're exhausted. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to do on that. So was she an over planner, or did she make a nice mix of things to do and a lot of downtime?
She makes sure, I guess she falls in line with over planning, mm-hmm. but more so to make sure that we have something to do and we're not bored out of our minds.
Yeah.
So she plans it, and if we can't get to something, she's like, okay, whatever. Once we're there, we try to time it out. That way we're like, okay, if we could go here, let's go to at least one place today.
Yeah.
And then if we could go to somewhere else, then let's do it. But nothing like, oh, let's go here, here, and here, and we have to make it this time, this time, this time.
Good.
Occasionally, you know, there will be, you know, when you go on a tour, you have to be.
Well, yeah. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a little bit different, but she does a very good job in planning that all out.
So my tip to all of you out there traveling, when you're planning these vacations, especially, you know, you've waited years to go to this one destination and you feel you have to see everything. Well, first of all, you don't have to see everything, but don't over plan. Go with the flow and try to experience instead of see so much. I remember when we spent a couple months actually in Europe, and my uncle was a secretary of tourism at one point. And so he could take us to all these castles and chateaus and all these beautiful places behind the scenes. But frankly, we went to so many that after a while they became a blur. You can only comprehend and soak in so much and enjoy it. I know it might sound a little awful to say because we were so appreciative of everything we saw. I mean, the king sat here, the queen sat there, they looked through here. I mean, it was just incredible. Mm-hmm. But if you do too much, it's overwhelming and it frankly takes the fun out of it and you become exhausted. So make sure that you give yourself that time to just sit back and say, hey, this morning, you know what? We're not doing anything. We're just going to kick back for a while, and this afternoon we'll go do something. Give yourself that time. So that is my travel tip. There you go. That's it. We can end the show right there. No, we can't. Yeah, we're going to talk about train travel and industry news and a lot more. So stick around. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we have some of those fare passes, industry news, and more. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. All right, this segment is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. They were over in Desert Hot Springs. Much of the Pueblo is made from adobe style and sun-dried bricks. It really is fascinating to go over there and see this. They also have a great gift shop, the grounds to wander around on. You can go to the website. I usually have tickets for admission for the tour that they have there. Admission is free, but the tour there, definitely you have to pay a little something for that. So definitely Cabot's Pueblo Museum, something you don't want to miss here in the Coachella Valley. So go to the website, cabotsmuseum.org. Actually, I was wrong about the admission. General admission is $13, and that is for the tour. So seniors, $11, but so well worth it. You'll hear, learn so much about the history here of the Coachella Valley. You truly will be, you'll be amazed. The Pueblo has 4 stories, 5,000 square feet, includes 35 rooms, 150 windows, 30 roof lines, and 65 doors.
It's huge.
It's huge. So if that doesn't get your interest, I don't know what will. Also, we have tickets right now for the Riverside County Date Festival and Fair. We have a family 4-pack. I will mail these out to you. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. If you would like to go to the fair, which is starts February 15th, runs through the 24th of this month, and these tickets, of course, all the concerts are free with it, and of course, you have to buy your own fair food. You can give us a call at 760-440-8255. That is 760-440-8255. Alex will push one of the buttons when they start ringing, and you are the winner. And again, I'll mail those out to you. And it is family 4-pack. You get 4 adults or however you want to use them. All right, into the travel news. The mayor of Venice has proposed May 1st as a start date for the city to begin charging access fees for day visitors. Under the proposal, the fee would be set at €3, about $3.40, for the rest of 2019 as an introductory rate. Starting in 2020, the fee would vary by demand. The basic fee would be €6, rising to €8 on heavy traffic days, and €10 on exceptionally busy days. The fee would be €3 on days of low inflow. Fines, though, here's the one. Fines between 100 and 450 euros would be assessed for violations. So that's up there. Yeah. Because if €3 is about $3.40, you can imagine what 100 or 450 euros.
That would hurt.
Yeah, definitely. And how they're going to do it, and they do this in Europe a lot, they're called non-invasive checks. And what happens is someone, one of their security, patrol, however you want to call it, enforcement, will get on a bus or a train or just be wandering around and randomly pick people and ask to see their fee, their visiting fee, a ticket. You're going to get a ticket for this. If you don't have the ticket and you can't prove that you're there for whatever else, yeah.
Yeah, I think it, some people may hate the idea, but yeah, it's important for travel destinations, especially for those that are getting kind of overrun.
Overrun. Venice, and, huge. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a, I forget, it was a island in the Philippines that's completely closed now because of stuff like this.
Right.
And they want to make sure that the city stays intact, basically, because it's very, it's a, Italy's very old.
What is it? Yeah. Is it Croatia, I think, where Game of Thrones, is that where Game of Thrones, well, the little town that Game of Thrones is filmed in, they can't even handle the massive crowds that they have now, because it's a very small little town, and they cannot handle, they don't know what to do, the people just, they don't know what to do, they're overwhelmed by all the tourists that want to see where Game of Thrones is filmed.
Yeah, it's a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, it is a lot of wear and tear. And we're talking about the history of these buildings and the streets and everything. Yeah, definitely. So just be prepared now. And like I say, these non-invasive checks, you could be there all day long. No one ever asks you for a ticket. I remember being on a bus. I don't even remember where we were, but they would just come around and not even ask everybody to show their ticket. Just, you know, can we see your ticket and move on maybe to the next car and a train or whatever. So be prepared. All right, in other news, this might be, well, we're so, getting so used to all this cold weather, this might be something that we'd be interested in. Do as the Inuits did and sleep in a traditional igloo at Igloo Lodge in Greenland. Clients who book the 5-day igloo experience from Off the Map Travel can spend one night in a 2-person hand-built igloo decked out with reindeer skins, sleeping bags, and a petroleum lamp. The temperature in the igloo will be a chilly 32 degrees Fahrenheit, but travelers can keep cozy with the provided outdoor bedding. Additionally, a wooden cabin with bathrooms is located on site. 32 degrees? All right. The experience, which is available through April, costs $1,304 per person, also includes excursions such as snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and Northern Lights safaris. Yeah. It sounds wonderful. I mean, it really does. Because obviously you're only spending the one night. And if it's a five-day trip, they're putting you up somewhere else for the other four nights. But it does sound cold.
Yeah. I don't know about sleeping in an igloo.
Yeah. I see there's a picture of this little cabin out there that looks really cute. I would stay in that. But the igloo, I don't know, but they have this ice hotel that is supposed to be spectacular.
I've heard of that.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's supposed to be just gorgeous. So, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe. Okay, in other news, Caesars Entertainment's first non-gaming hotel brand. Yes, Caesars Republic will pay homage to the dynamic energy of Las Vegas when it debuts in Scottsdale, Arizona. The 266-room, 11-story hotel next to the Scottsdale Fashion Square Mall will have a rooftop pool and bar, a patio with views of Camelback Mountain, a restaurant, and a coffee shop. The hotel would be Caesars' first non-gaming hotel in the U.S. So interesting. Yeah.
Diversifying.
Yes. And Scottsdale's a good place. I like Scottsdale. It's very, they have a really nice mix of old town and new and the Riverwalk area. And they do a good job in Scottsdale. So I think this hotel will do very, very well. All right. United has begun offering more than 100 channels of live DirecTV. The service introduced on January 30th ahead of the Super Bowl is available on 211 United Boeing 737s equipped with seatback entertainment systems. United previously charged $5.99 for live television on flights of less than 2 hours and $7.99 on longer flights. JetBlue, American, Delta, and Southwest also offer free live television. So there, if you get it, I don't know. Can't you unplug at some point? Really? If you're sitting by a window, look out the window.
Yeah. If it's a long, you know, I get it. But I need some entertainment while I'm on the flight, to be honest.
Oh, really? You have to be watching something.
I have to be doing something because I can't really sleep comfortably on a plane.
Yeah.
And I get antsy.
Yeah. I just stare out the window. I always try to get a window seat. And I can just sit there and stare at that darn window for hours. I don't know why. And I'm looking for other jets in the sky. Stuff. Looking down at the ground, thinking, we have so much land. And everybody's jammed into all these areas. And there's so much land out there. And then you look and see where the water has made its way through these flat, barren areas and made all these designs on the ground. I mean, it's fast. I find it fascinating. And then when you get in the clouds or you're above the clouds, that is so beautiful. It's so crystal blue up there.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like window seats, too.
Anyway. Okay, talking about hotels, long-awaited TWA hotel is begin taking reservations. Yes, for aviation enthusiasts will soon be able to book a room at the TWA hotel. The long-anticipated property on the grounds of New York JFK Airport will begin taking reservations at noon on Valentine's Day for stays beginning May 15th, when the hotel will have a soft opening. For now, room rates begin at $249 a night. Reservations must be made by visiting the hotel's website. Anchored around the landmark TWA Flight Center that opened in 1962 as the Jet Age Dawn, the airport property is one of the most anticipated hotel openings in 2019. The 512-room hotel will feature two new six-story towers that flank the old TWA terminal. Terminal's head house. The terminal is in the process of being converted into a 200,000 square foot lobby that the hotel claims will be the largest. The hotel will include six restaurants and eight bars. One of those, a cocktail bar, will be housed in a refurbished Lockheed Constellation aircraft that was a staple of the TWA flight in the late 1950s and early 60s. That should be quite interesting. In fact, I talked about the jet Cordon that brought the jet. This was it in Switzerland? A couple of weeks ago we talked about this. I just had a report. I got a release yesterday. I was looking at, they actually got that big 747 in the garden of this huge ground. Maybe it was Amsterdam. excuse me, where the hotel is around it. And I'm looking at this picture, and that jet looks so gigantic in this area where the hotel's. I don't know. It looks almost too large in the picture. I don't know. I'm sure it'd be fascinating to look out your window and you see this jet and the name of it. Obviously, what an advertisement for this airlines. Corridor. I mean, you sit and look at it all day long every day in your room. And to see that gigantic jet sitting out there, I don't know. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I would go stay there. I would like to go to this TWA hotel as well. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside in just a moment. When we come back, we should be talking to Olivia Irvin from Amtrak. Fingers crossed. Olivia and I talked a few times this week, so we should be on board for all of this and find out what is going on with Amtrak. In fact, Valentine's Day is a huge day for travel on trains, much larger than we even thought. So should be interesting to find out all that is new with Amtrak and how you can enjoy the Amtrak experience. We'll also be reading your answers to our question of the week and a lot more. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, as we await for Olivia, their public relations manager of Amtrak, to give us a call. We're going to talk about our own stats that we have and some other things as well. If you recall last week, we talked about WOW, Icelandic Airlines, giving away free flights to those with the name Valentine's or Valentine. Well, Stella, one of our listeners, actually emailed me and then called WOW and talked to a representative there. And either the first or last name has to be Valentine's with an S.
Huh.
Yeah, not Valentine. Valentine's. And so if it's that, then you can enter their contents. If not, then they won't do it. It's interesting, though. But she was looking into it. So thank you so much for doing that for us. And actually, Amtrak has a special they will be releasing on Valentine's Day for two this year. Instead of gifting chocolates, flowers, whatever, Amtrak is encouraging individuals to consider gifting a trip on Amtrak with a two for the price of one, buy one, get one free sale if you can agree to an embargo of February 14th. So there you go. They're going to be launching a Valentine's Day sale for two this year, Amtrak. So check that out. Buy one, get one free. And you can always go to their website, which is Amtrak.com. So I want to give you some train travel stats because we have not heard from Olivia yet. But on Valentine's Day, Amtrak has had more than 7.2 million passengers travel that week for an average of 806,000 customers per year. So Valentine's for some day is a very busy day for train travel. I'm not sure why.
But yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, but it is. So, and Amtrak offers a more comfortable and convenient travel experience with free Wi-Fi on most trains, plenty of legroom, and no middle seat. With their state-of-the-art computer partners, they move people, the economy, and the nation forward, carrying more than 30 million Amtrak customers for each year, each of the past 7 years. Amtrak offers more than 300 daily trains connecting more than 500 destinations in 46 states, the District of Columbia, and three Canadian provinces, and reaches 400 additional destinations via connecting bus routes. So they are doing a lot. Of course, we had talked about having an Amtrak here in the Valley that would run daily to L.A. And I gather there is one that comes in around 4:30 in the morning about three times a week that runs to LA and back. But I really think during Coachella Fest is when they should have a designated train going back and forth.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of people coming in from LA.
Right, back and forth. But the problem is, here's what the issue is with Amtrak. They do not own the rail lines. Those lines are owned by Pacific Railroad and some of the big major transport rail companies that, you know, that just are transporting goods all across the country. Amtrak actually rents their space on those tracks, so they are not the priority, and that's the problem. They are not giving first priority. The trains carrying all the cargo trains get the first priority. So that can be a problem because they have to run on time. In fact, some of our comments are people saying that don't expect Amtrak to be constantly on time. But on the flip side, I say that we went to New Mexico on Amtrak train. It was so much fun. I loved it. It was really a lot of fun. Stopping the dining car. And when you stop at all the train depots, I mean, they are there for just a few minutes. You certainly don't get off and wander around and get back on, because that train leaves without you. Yeah. I mean, they load up whoever needs to get on, and they, the people that are getting off, they are off, the others are on, and boom, that train starts up again. And I thought it was funny, because I thought, oh, these stops, I can go look around and just, you know, maybe we're going to be here for half an hour. But no, I mean, 10 minutes. Sometimes it was only just a couple minutes late at night when the train stops, and it's just a minute or two, and off it goes again, and the clickety-clickety-click of the train. It really is. It's in the dining car. It's a fun experience. And if you get a little sleeper car, not the car, but a little sleeper compartment, ours had this little tiny restroom in it, and like I say, the bunk beds that folded, one of them, the bottom, then became seating for like two couches on each side. So much fun. But the chair, the seating that you can get without a sleeper car, those seats are more comfortable than first class seating. They're really comfortable. And you sleep in your seats on the train. And everybody shares these big bathroom facilities. Well, not big. Nothing's big on a train. It's like an airline. Yeah. It's not big. But it really is quite an experience. I don't know. It's a great way to see the country. You're going to see so much beautiful countryside. Did you see that where some of these, the weather has been so cold, they were lighting the tracks on fire to keep the tracks warm for the trains to go.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so the tracks wouldn't freeze. They had, just think of the crew out there in these snow, these blizzards, all this cold weather going along and lighting the tracks to keep the tracks warm so there's no problem with the trains. I know we don't a lot of times think of all these people in the travel industry behind the scenes. How about the guys up there that are spraying the aircraft wings? The de-icing them. They're out there in freezing cold weather. Some of them are in these little, little cubicles, glass-in cubicles on the tractors. Others are not. Others are right out there in the cold, and they're de-icing these jets so they can get off the ground. And people don't think about that. How about the crew on the ground that are directing the jets, you know, putting them in their slots, getting them back out, the ground crew, the luggage people, all that sort of stuff. We forget about all that.
It's a big process and a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, and we just want to go.
Yeah.
You mean we're stuck here because we can't take off because it's too dangerous? Yeah, we're complaining, and those people are down there trying to help us. So anyway, if you have never been on a train trip, try taking one. It is really, really a lot of fun. It would be wonderful if they had a train that came through here on a regular, you know, during the day instead of at 4:30 or 3:30 in the morning. That would be nice. But they don't, because there's so much traffic on these tracks going out here. They just so far haven't been able to fit it in. In fact, I took a train with one of the CVBs here. They had us go to Union Station in L.A. We bussed in over on an Amtrak bus, and we rode the train back. And on the way back, outside of Beaumont, there's a way station where you pull off to the side to let some of the cargo trains go through. We happened to have to pull over, and we were maybe 20 minutes from the Coachella Valley, and we had to wait 40 minutes before the train could start up again.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, see, that does hurt. That definitely hurts. I enjoyed the train travel. We got to have dinner in the dining car. The food was excellent. But sometimes you're taking your chances. Amtrak does their very best, though, to try to get everybody where they're going on time. But sometimes it doesn't always work out. But you know what? It also makes for a fun trip, though. You sit there, you sightsee, you talk to people, you dine, you get in the observation car, you play some cards, you just, I don't know, it's just fun.
Why, we got to talk to Elon Musk, be like, hey.
Yeah. Why is it, what's he doing with train travel? Am I missing something?
He was doing the speed rail.
Oh.
That only takes like a few minutes to get from like LA to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing that for a bit.
And there was going to be the one that goes to Vegas as well. So far, neither one.
We're waiting.
Yeah, we're still waiting. Yeah, definitely. We're waiting for Olivia, which now I have a feeling is not going to be calling us. And I talked to Olivia a couple times this week. So anyway, if you want more information about Amtrak, a great way to travel, go to their website, which is Amtrak.com. Very simple. Book now and try to take advantage of that 2-for-1, buy one, get one free sale on February 14th. Take advantage of that, and that will certainly might help you out and might inspire you to go on a train trip. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to step aside. When we come back, I have all your answers to our questions about train travel, and we're going to give away some more tickets to the Date Festival coming up February 15th through 24th and kind of cover some other travel news as well. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Well, Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. Alex is in the boardroom. This segment of the show is brought to you by Animal Samaritans. Like I said, they had a record number of adoptions the first month of 2019, so let's keep that going. You can go to their website, animalsamaritans.org, for more information. They also have the veterinarian clinics, the animal shelters, and they have been doing their thing, helping animals and people since 1978. They have a no-kill shelter for dogs and cats. They do such a great job over there. So again, it's animalsamaritans.org. I also want to thank all the people who came to the ACT Travel Club of the Desert meeting on Wednesday. Yes, with Luis Fuente was there, and he was, of course, Huelhauser's longtime cameraman. He was there and gave a nice little talk. He was funny. He was so humble, such a really great guy. And he sold his book there, and I just met some listeners there who stopped by and listened, and so it was fun. So thanks. It was great to see you there. And we had a full house, standing room only, and Luis actually sold all his books, which it's a really good book. It's a fun book to read. You'll read it a couple of times because they had some really good stories in there. So again, thanks to everybody that that stopped by there. Their next Travel Club of the Desert meetings, which are free, is the first Wednesday of every month, and that will be in March. March is the next month. All right. Also, we want to give a heads up. Another perfect gift would be whale watching with Dana Wharf Whale Watching out in Dana Point. Lots of whales still. A lot of whale sightings because the water is so warm right now. So definitely, and not as cold as it normally is this time of the year, and the whales are still migrating. So check it out. Go to DanaWharf.com and book even a sport fishing trip for your sweetie or whale watching or, you know, something kind of fun. And then don't forget Borrego Springs out there, Borrego Springs Resort and Spa. Wildflowers will be blooming this year. We pretty much guarantee it. We see a lot of flowers already blooming now. So I'd book early. They have 100 rooms over there, suites and regular rooms, and I would try booking, I'm going to say March. I'm thinking as soon as it starts. I noticed on, is it Gerald Ford? I think it was Gerald Ford. No, was it Frank Sinatra? That there's that one stretch there where there's between Bob Hope and Monterey. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. They already had a lot of those purple, the verbena flowers blooming already. And people are starting to post pictures. So can you imagine what the desert out there is going to look like?
Yeah, I think in the next few weeks it'll really bloom.
It'll bloom.
And if we have more rain like it's forecasted, then could you imagine March?
I know. It's going to be. And our mountains will be green because we get that cover of green coating of all the grass that grows on the mountains. It will certainly not look like the desert for a little while there. All right. So let's get back to our travel question of the week. Have you ever traveled by train? Well, here we go. A lot of you answered. Surprised the heck out of me. But John Hughes, he said, I remember parts of this trip, the Empire State Building, the Smithsonian, the city of New Orleans, and the heat and lightning bugs of Kansas on the 4th of July. Also, the little gift bag that Betty and Danny gave us as we got on the train. A little something for each day on the train. So fun. I was only 6. So much of it lost in my memories. But he still remembers his trip on the train at 6 years old. Laura Flores says, yes, summer of 91. Took the train from Mexicali to Guadalajara one way. Return trip train was sold out, so we flew home. Our plane emergency landed on the runway, plane nose deep in the sand at the stopping. My mother was interviewed by reporters in Mexicali Airport. Upon arriving home, we found out that the train we were supposed to be on derailed and fell into a riverbed. Talk about close calls. Okay, Laura, that was a trip of a trip. Can you believe that? Her plane, the emergency lands on a runway, the train that they were supposed to be on. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, you're speechless?
I don't know what to say because, I mean, did she really get lucky?
Yeah, well, I guess she did. I don't know, but wow. Because I don't read these. I usually just read these when I bring them here to read. So I had not read all this. Mary Waybill says, when I was 16, I lived in Paradise, California, which is sadly the town that burned down. And my favorite aunt lived in Salt Lake City. She invited me there to attend her modeling charm school. I took the Amtrak train there. It was a lovely scenic experience. I would go up to the scenic double-decker car and was in awe over the beauty. As we came into Salt Lake City. It was a beautiful thing. I would love to take that ride again. Well, that's a nice story. Nancy Edwards says, rode from Chicago to New Orleans on the City of New Orleans train in 1983. There's a song after that. What an adventure for a young, small-town Midwestern girl. Yeah, I bet that was exciting. Kate Urban said, years ago, Richmond, California to Racine, Wisconsin. In fact, we almost lost my 8-month-old brother. My mom thought the stop was a long one, but it wasn't. I was 8. My sisters were 5 and 3. We got off at the stop to get a soda. My mom left my brother on the train with 2 nice ladies who we didn't know their names, and they didn't know ours. The train started pulling out of the station. We threw our drinks down and started running. The steps to get on the train were all up. We ran past the car with the ladies and my brother. We were frantically waving and told the porter to put down the step. He did, and we were able to get on board. Lucky for us, trains go to really slow. They go really slow when they leave the station, which they do. And she said, I have a picture of us on that train trip. Oh, my gosh. Oh, did I need to censor these before I read them? All right. Freddie Flores says, yes, from L.A. to San Diego. It was really nice. Right, good. Jim Hughes says, Jim Hughes? Oh, that was John Hughes the first time. This is Jim Hughes. Said, one of my fondest memories when I was 10 years old, my family of 5 rode the train from Portland, Oregon to Virginia via a northerly route. My grandfather was attending a conference there. We returned via train along a southerly route. It was a wonderful trip. And Mary Byrne says, yes, my sister and I went to Illinois from Barstow every summer there and back. The posters took care of us. We went by Pullman and loved it. We felt so adult. We started at about ages 8 and 10 through high school. Our dad and grandfather worked for the CNEI. I don't know what that is. We talked about it often. We would love to take my son and his kids on a train ride. Claudia Cloward says, not yet, but I'd love to. Taylor Garner says, I love the train. I used to take the train from San Diego to Los Angeles. What a scenic ride. John Ostrom said, San Bernardino to Denver and back in 1993. Debbie Dahmer says, love the train. Easiest way to get to downtown L.A. Well, Debbie, you need to tell us more on how you do it. You must take that early morning ride that goes out of here. James Bigaloni says, yes, but not recently. Miss it. Gail Oldenkamp said, took the train through Western Canada. Such beautiful scenery. And they have some of these trips that are just like Copper Mountain and the Rocky Mountain Mountaineer that are just trips that are geared, not Amtrak, but they're privately owned lines that are geared for just these mountain excursions. It's actually like a tour, but instead of on a bus, you're on a train. So you might want to look into one of those. Those are really fascinating. Frank C. says, yes, many times, including a few cross-country trips. Elsa Riva says, absolutely, especially to L.A. and San Diego, stress-free at arrival. Randy Franco says, my first train experience was when I was hired as a student brakeman for the Alaska Railroad. All right, Randy, but you have some stories to tell. Barbara Pruget says, the train heading south from upstate New York to New York City to Washington, D.C., the view of the expanse of Hudson River, so much water it looked like an ocean. South from Salinas, California to L.A. or Anaheim, winding through the Central Coast Mountains and the coastal cities of Santa Barbara. Love that ride. So beautiful. And Gino Recupero says, last train ride was on the Metrolink to see a Rams game at the L.A. Coliseum. Janice Murphy says, I've never traveled long distance by rail. However, I've always wanted to take a rail trip along the coast of California. I've been on the Polar Express in Williams, Arizona, and a small train ride on the Strasburg Railroad in Pennsylvania. Polar Express. Fun. The Grand Canyon Railway, that is a fun trip. It takes you from the town of Williams over to the Grand Canyon. You can stay in Williams for the night in the hotel, get on the train, then stay at the Grand Canyon or take the... It's really a lot of fun. And during the winter, they have their Polar Express, which just takes you off the tracks into a sidetrack where they have this whole like Santa's Village and stuff set up. It's really fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So I love that town of Williams too. And Dan Scanny, he sent me something yesterday that says, I almost forgot about 35 years ago, Vancouver to Calgary through the Canadian Rockies. Wow. On the Canada's Via Rail, discontinued after being subsidized financially, a grant from the Canadian government. So he has been on quite a few rail trips. Alaska Railway from Fairbanks to Denali is part of a multi-day tour of Alaska, plus a few vintage railways, mostly Colorado to New Mexico, Rocky Mountains. Said Amtrak trains run Amtrak trains often run behind schedule, so I would advise potential riders to consider travel on an Amtrak as an experience and not to expect to always arrive on time. But we arrived a few minutes early in Seattle on the Coast Starlight last June. So thanks, Dan, for that. So, yeah, there are some train trips for you. Obviously, train travel has been a lot of fun for many at you. I did pick some winners. I did give away some fare tickets to some people. Mary Burns, Debbie Dahmer, Randy Franco, they all won fare tickets, and they just have to get in touch with me. I just pulled some names out of a hat. Like I said, I had not read these. I just closed my eyes and picked some winners, so definitely. And we have just a few minutes left if you want some passes to the Riverside County Fair and Date Festival. Family four-pack, I'll mail them out to you. Starts on the 15th. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. Congratulations to our winner in the first hours. They were Jay and Eileen. They won tickets to the Riverside County Fair and Date Festival. I'll have a few pop-up contests this week on the Facebook page for Traveling with Francoise for some more fair tickets. But that's going to be pretty much about it because we've given so many fair tickets away. A lot of new contests on the website, Traveling with Francoise. Check it out. And you can sign up. Everything is free. Not bad, huh? Everything is free that we give away on this show. All right, Mount Rushmore. We're going there in May. If you want to join me to Mount Rushmore and surrounded Crazy Horse Monument, which is not finished yet from what I hear. It's taking years to finish that. We are leaving out of Palm Springs International Airport. It's May 4th through the 7th. I will be the hostess on that trip. We will be staying at a Marriott Fairfield Inn. It is $9.95. From Palm Springs per person, and we'll go to historic sites of Rapid City, South Dakota, including the Black Hills and Crazy Horse Monument. We will also discover the Lakota tribes, their area, and more. So try and join me on that trip. Okay. And don't forget, we have the nonprofit that I'm forming, Artifacts and Arts Across America. I'm still waiting for the IRS to send me, you know, the government shutdown. Things kind of get on hold there. So I am waiting for my official IRS status, and then I will be telling you more about that and how you can help. And this is really for the television show, to get more shows out there, because people are always saying, oh, Francoise, we want to see more shows. We want to see more shows. But they do cost money to make those shows. So this will be a way of helping me out to get more shows on the air for you out there. So next week, what are we doing? We're going to talk about the Wildflower Festival coming up. They did have to change locations because of the government shutdown. But I don't know. I was wondering if maybe they're going to try to move it back. Probably not. But we're going to talk about that, the Wildflower Festival. We're going to talk about spring training in Arizona. That is all the rage. Alex, have you ever been to spring training in Arizona?
I have not.
All right. That has become such a big thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, who would have thunk it? Because they have all these stadiums that they made specifically for these baseball teams and whatnot. So we'll talk about that as well. And, of course, travel news and all sorts of stuff. So, again, check out the website for everything going on Traveling with Francoise. Watch a television show on Monday morning at 5:30. I think it's 5:30 or 6. I'm not sure what time on Monday morning. Thursdays at noon. Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. on Fox 11 for Traveling with Francoise. Have a great week, everyone. See you next time. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.